This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey, everyone. It's Susanna. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 shift. Today, we are bringing you the last episode in our Tech and Family series. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. I hope you've been listening to the other episode and learning more about how to help your kid thrive online and mentoring versus monitoring and how COVID has changed parenting and screens and all the things. And I've had some wonderful guests, and you are going to love today's guest, Sandy Cooper from The Scoop on Balance. And so Sandy and I have an excellent conversation around making social media small. And so, you know, when Sandy reached out to me about being a podcast guest, I was like, oh, this is perfect timing, because we are really focusing on a lot of the other aspects of technology and families. And one that I hadn't really put into the mix yet was this idea of how big is social media in our lives as parents and as moms, and what can we do to, you know, really keep it small. And so Sandy is doing some really cool stuff. She's doing a 7-day social media break challenge. I think it starts November 1st. If you click in the show notes, you can get the link to be part of that challenge, where Sandy is going to send you an email every day to remind you what you could be doing with those other 2 hours a day. Because yes, that is the average in the United States of America of amount of time that people spend on social media is 2 hours a day. Oh my word. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about reasons why you should take a social media break. Everything from mental health to the time wasted to really how our brain begins to become rewired. And it really makes us hard to focus and do things that we love and things that we're passionate about. And so I don't want to give too much away, but you're going to love this conversation with Sandy Cooper. She is down to earth. She's done a ton of research. She's been on her own journey, and she wants to share it with all of y'all. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I really hope you enjoyed this series. Our next episode is going to be a new series that I'm excited to introduce to you guys in a couple days. So I hope you're having a great fall. I hope you are learning things that help your family, that encourage you wherever you are in the journey. There's no perfect parent out there, no matter what social media tells us. And so I really appreciate you being here. I hope y'all have a great day. Thanks for being here. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 Shift with Susanna. This is your host, Susanna, and I'm so thrilled that you're back. I have a new friend on the podcast today, Sandy Cooper, who is going to be sharing some really interesting perspectives on social media. And so I'm going to hit the ground running, asking her a few questions. So, Sandy, the way I'm doing my season 3 opening interviews is 5 rapid fire questions for you to introduce yourself. You ready?
I'm so ready. All right. Okay. All right. I didn't know this was coming.
Let's go. That's good. Number one, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio.
Woohoo. And of course, Sandy and I already talked about offline our Ohio love. Woo-hoo. So that goes without saying. And that's where right. Do you live now? Number two.
I live in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Number three, what is one of your favorite foods or restaurants?
Ooh, okay. So I don't know how rapid you can do this. So I have a professional certification in like plant-based cooking.
Oh.
So like I love all food as long as it's like plant-based and whole and oh my gosh. How can you do this to me?
I'm sorry. I know. This is why I can't give you any prep.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My favorite. Well, I would have to say, okay, I'm just going to go with like my go-to dinner. Okay. Like if I don't have anything any plans for dinner, the thing that I always go to is I roast a pan of whatever vegetables I have, and I put it on a salad, on a bed of greens with toasted, some kind of toasted nuts and like a homemade balsamic vinaigrette and a chopped avocado. That is like my favorite meal.
Do you ship to Philadelphia? Can you, is that something I can get on the delivery service
for? It might get a little limp in transit.
Yeah, maybe not so good. All right. Well, yeah. That sounds delicious. Okay. All right. I like that plant-based. Yeah. If you could only have one for the next year, would you pick movies or music?
Oh, music 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. You were quick to that. Yeah. All right. And the last one here is you are speaking to us today about social media's kind of impact on our life and taking a break. And so I wanted to ask you, where did this idea come from? Was it an aha moment or was this something you were kind of milling around for a while?
Okay. Yes, that is a great question. Milling around for years, probably a solid decade. So before I even start talking about social media, I want to just, well, first of all, thank you for having me here. So I wanted to like, this is really fun for me. So thank you. But before I talk about it, I want to clarify that I am not anti-technology. I am not off the grid. Okay. So I am very heavily integrated in technology. I have an iPhone. I have a website. I have a podcast. I use my GPS and my weather app thousands of times per day. I talk to my friends over Voxer. You know, so I'm like, I'm not off the grid. I love to hear about people who are, but that's not me. And I was heavily integrated in social media beginning in 2008 when the platform was a baby. It was only a year and a half old when I joined. I mean, it was older than that, but when we could join, when we weren't, you know, part of Harvard or a college or whatever.
Oh yeah.
And I remember the day I joined, I remember the moment I first clicked on and I saw all these people that I knew in real life. And they were like the people that I knew from church, my friends, and they were talking and they were bantering. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. And I remember being able to like look for and find all my high school friends that I had lost contact with. And it was so fun. And then I literally looked up every single person that I could remember ever knowing in my whole life requested friendship with them. And I realized that, okay, so now I can be in touch with every single person I've ever known. Yay. And because I was now living away from my family, because by this time we had moved away from Ohio, we were living in Kentucky at the time, and my family did not live near me, I thought I can keep in touch with my whole family there. And then I had started a blog that same year. So in 2008, I started a blog and a website. And I realized that this was a really great way for me to share my writing. And when I shared it, like people shared it with other people. And I witnessed firsthand, like how that whole thing I understood what viral meant for the first time, because one of my blog posts went viral through Facebook.
Well, in 2008, like that was really the beginning.
It was the heyday.
Yeah, for sure.
So mine went viral. It was in 2013, but it was still like I was so into the whole concept of it. And then by 2016, so I was 8 years in, I had a Facebook account, a Twitter account, a Pinterest account, and Instagram. Plus I had two kids who were old enough to have their own accounts. And so I was spending hours a day.
Oh, easy.
Easy. Like just monitoring all of that because I was on it for personal reasons. I was on it for professional reasons.
Yeah.
By that time, you know, publishers and agents were using social media presence as the primary metric to measure whether or not they would sign you on. And because I was a writer and I was actively looking for that type of thing, I was very much into like studying what's working, what's not working. I mean, I was all in, 100% in. And all of that, I believe, contributed to and undeniable, certifiable, and completely understandable social media addiction. Like I was addicted to social media. Mm. And now I should mention that when I joined back in 2008, I had an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And so very similar to what you have right now. Mm-hmm. And I barely had enough time to shower. So oh, yeah. I certainly did not have time to spend hours a day on anything else, but I did. And so because of just realizing that this thing had infiltrated my whole life, I realized I needed to set some boundaries around it. And so I started doing everything that everyone suggested I do. You know, I would sometimes be off for the month of January. Sometimes I would take Lent off. Sometimes I would take the summer off. Sometimes I would like take off my apps from my phone on Friday and put them back on Monday. You know, I was just trying like crazy to just put all the boundaries around like everybody tells you. But every time I would do that, I would be gripped with fear.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that I would lose touch with my friends. I was afraid that I would lose touch with my family because I hadn't lived near my family since I got married. It was the main way that I was keeping up with a ton of people. Some people I had only met online. Yeah. And so it was the only way I knew them. Now my older kids are on. So I was afraid if I got off, I can't monitor them. Mm. By this time, you know, now schools have Facebook pages. It's the only way to get the information from the school or the club or whatever. And by then I was also a member of paid groups, including the one where I found you, which is Hope Writers. And so I thought every time I would log off, I would be like, oh my gosh, like publishers will think I'm horrible. I'm like, no one will be able to find me. Like my kids need me to monitor them. Okay. So that was me until September 2019. So,
and these are very real, like, even though you're like, I have a Facebook, I have a Twitter, I'm not like, wow, she's off the rails. I'm like, you're a normal person trying to share something you're passionate about. Right. But I feel like what you're saying is like, it's such a tricky, you know, it's a slippery slope and a tricky balance.
Yes. And I even was trying to do, you know, a lot of people were like, okay, you don't, first it was, you need to be everywhere the people are. Then people realized that was like ridiculous. And so then it was like, okay, well, just go chase the fun, like go where you love, go to, you know, I'm like trying to do all the things that people are telling me to do.
Yep.
And it was insane. Like, so I spent most of my time on Facebook just because it was a more word oriented platform. And my thing is words.
Yeah.
And so I had an Instagram and I had a Twitter and I had, you know, I had those other things, but most of my time was on Facebook, except when I was monitoring my kids because they were on Instagram and Snapchat, which was like, I'm not even trying that at that point. It's September 2019.
Okay.
A lot of things had led up to this moment, but I am at this moment where I realize I want to write. I'd already written one book, self-published a book. I needed time to write my second one. And I'm trying to figure out how to maintain this online presence and write this book. And I looked at my screen time readings and I was like, okay, it's a solid 2 hours a day. And that's
conservative. That's low. Yeah. Right?
But I thought, what could I do with 2 hours a day? I could write a book. And so I went against I checked with people. I'm like, what do you think about this? And they're like, no, you are literally lobbing off a whole section of your audience. This is not good. And I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. And so September 11th, 2019, I logged off for a year. And I said, I'm not going back for a whole year until I finish this book. Well, of course, I had no idea that the pandemic was going to hit during that time. I also had no idea we were moving during that time.
Oh,
we
my
moved
word.
From. So, I really feel like it was God's providence on me, the timing of it. So not only did I get the book written, but I also missed all the ridiculousness that was happening on social media during that time.
Yeah, you missed nothing that you want to go back for.
No, exactly. And I needed all that time to move too. So it was all good. So I came back a little over a year. It ended up being, I took a little more time because honestly, I was like, I don't want to go back. Yeah. But I also missed my friends. Like, I missed that. You know what I mean? There is an online connection situation
there
that
totally
you miss.
Is. Right. Yes.
And so I was like, okay, this will be fun because a lot of people don't know I moved. I can talk about my new book and I can see people again. And I will do it in a better way. Like, that's what I was like, okay,
yeah.
I'm rehabilitated.
I'm healthy now. I'm boundaries.
Healthy. That's right. I can do this. And so I got back on. I knew all that. I had a plan. I knew exactly what I was going to do. And I got there and it just felt awful. Like, it was disgusting. Like, I don't even know how else to describe it. I was just like, I hate it here. Mm. I don't want to be here.
Was it a left behind feeling mm-hmm. or more like, this is why I left feeling?
This is why I left. Mm. It was a, this is what I hate.
Yeah.
And so I really, okay. So there was this 4-month period of time from the time I got back on after that year long break till March 18th, 2021. When I just really made it a matter of prayer.
Well, and it's like, you've just had me thinking of like how much of our professional lives are mm-hmm. tied into these platforms.
Right. Mine because, was.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. even, you know, sharing this podcast, I get people to share it all the time. And then I'm learning, how do people share it? Where do I, how do I get them to share it more? You know, it's
yep.
the professional side of so many jobs is yes. so connected.
And I had a podcast by then too. So I was 2 years into my podcast by this point. Hmm. And so, yes, I mean, 100%, all those things. And so what I felt like the Lord had said to me during that time was there was no big, thus saith the Lord, get thee off of social media. I didn't feel that. But what I did sense was God saying, Sandy, it is okay to lay this down. It wasn't telling me I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I felt like he was saying, you don't have to be here. Mm. And I was like, really? Like, are you sure? Like, am I hearing you right? Are you sure I don't have to be there? Because everyone says I have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I could just cry because I didn't know how to live outside of it at this point. It was one of those things that, like, if you're not there, then how? Because
right.
this is where the world is now. So yeah. how? And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to trust the Lord. I mean, yeah. and this isn't an irreversible decision. I thought if I screw it up and I realize, oh, shoot, I probably should go back, then I'll just go back.
Like, then you'll go back.
Right. And so that's the way I left it in March of 2021. And I talked about it a little bit on my podcast. I wrote an exit post that I put on my, you know, people have weird feelings about exit posts and some people get super snarky and they're like, you know, this isn't an airport. You don't have to announce your departure. I'm
yes.
like, okay, well, actually I kind of do because this is also where my business is and where people find me. So,
exactly.
You know, so yeah, so I did all of that and I felt very personal about it. Okay. So it was never going to be a thing where I did this, where I'm going on podcasts talking about and encouraging other people to do it because it felt very personal.
Yeah.
Until a year later. So then now it's April of 2022. And I have now written another whole book. So now in the 2 years I had been off, I've written two books, which is what
Amazing.
I wanted to do the whole time.
Yes.
And so I'm on a social media tour. That's what I'm doing now. I was on a podcast tour talking about my book. And you know, whenever you're on someone else's podcast or you host a guest, it is customary to say, okay, and where can people find you?
Yes.
And then I would say, well, I'm no longer on social media. And I say it in passing at this point, it's been 2 years. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like, it's not
yeah.
even a thing to me anymore. But all of a sudden, it's a thing to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, you can find me on my website or I have a podcast and I would share that information. And the host inevitably would be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. What do you mean you're not on social media? Like, how do you share your work? What? And then we would like, she'd stop recording and she'd be like, can we talk about this? And I would be like, whoa, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden I realized this is a thing. And so I thought maybe it's not just about me.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something I need to talk about. So I decided that I would survey my audience. So this was the end of last spring.
Okay.
And so I put out a survey to my followers. My My whole ministry is for overwhelmed moms. Okay. I help frazzled moms find peace. So I thought, these are women who have been listening to me talk about this for years. Like, I've been talking about me leaving social media, but I've never thought to ask them, can I talk to you about your relationship with social media? Because I never wanted to be pushy about it, because I realized people are there for reasons, you know? And so I surveyed them, and 50% of my followers agreed with this statement. I feel trapped by social media. I want to leave, but I can't.
That is so, I mean, maybe you weren't surprised by that response, but that's compelling.
Yes. And so I was like, whoa, okay, this is a thing. I should talk about this thing. And so I spent the entire summer rereading, rewatching every book that I had ever bought when I was trying to make my decisions. You know, a total of 8 books. I mean, I like devoured them. I went on every, I listened to every podcast I could find. I rewatched The Social Dilemma, of course.
So good.
So good. And I had, that came out after I had already left. So I was, you know, that was preaching to the choir, but it gave me a whole new set of things. And I remember hearing on your podcast, you show that to your
students,
think
people are sick of hearing me recommend The Social Dilemma.
Well,
but I'm like,
hear it again. Because here we are. Well, and it goes so far beyond that, because that was kind of just got people's attention. But now there's like research that backs it up. Okay. So what I'm sharing now today is the 5 reasons that just jumped out at me that honestly, Susanna, if I had known this, I would not have struggled for 10 years with this decision.
Yeah.
And they're the things that when people now ask me, why are you not on social media? Like, it's just a no-brainer for me. Yeah. And I think even if I can't convince moms to get off social media, because I realize that there are legitimate reasons to be there, I want them to go into it with eyes wide open.
Yes.
I want them to understand completely what they're engaging with.
Yep.
And I want them to feel empowered to make it as small as possible in their lives. Cal Newport calls it digital minimalism. I call it making social media small.
You know, this is, you know, what do they say? Invention is like the necessary, like
necessity is the mother of invention.
There you go. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. So you are doing this for yourself, you know, maybe in, like you said, in the beginning, not realizing that so many people this is going to resonate with. So right. I know you've been reading the books and doing the podcasts and all the things. Yeah. And I also think that you wouldn't come to this lightly, you know, because a lot of times we want something and we kind of like weasel the things in to make that work.
Yeah.
Right. But I think in your case, it seems like there's really like compelling reasons to, you know, and I'm excited to hear. So tell us one of the reasons, or like kick us off here with what you are sharing with your community and how this is hitting people.
Sure. Okay. So the first compelling reason, and this one will come as no shock to anyone, but social media sucks your time.
It is such a time suck.
It is. So 81% of the moms that I surveyed said that their biggest concern about their own social media use was the time suck. Yeah. So most of us are concerned about this already. So the average person in the US spends 2 hours a day on social media, which was exactly what I was spending. Obviously, that's the average. So there's people spending less, but there's people spending more as well. And of course, my audience, they're already overwhelmed and tapped out. Yeah. We don't have 2 hours to spend. We don't. And most of us, so like, this is what's insidious about it. So most of us aren't setting aside a dedicated 2 hours. Like, this is my social media time. It's the slow drip. It's the checking it incessantly. It's the going to check your kid's Facebook page because you want to see if they have any uniforms for sale, and you get sucked in for 2 hours.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's that. It's or even just the you're waiting for the pasta to boil and you check, and you are, you know, go to the restroom and you check, and you're sitting in carpool and you check. And over the course of time, and we're going to come back to that concept, because it's that thing that we do that is causing so much problem, and it's causing some of the other compelling reasons that I'm kind of foreshadowing of what I'm going to talk about.
I like it.
Yeah. So, but it's not an accident that you're getting sucked in. Like I used to think something was wrong with me. Like, why can't I handle this? And then I realized, oh, because it's designed to do this. Like it is, there's nothing accidental about you accidentally getting sucked in.
Which brings me back to the social dilemma, because I think they really, I don't want to say popularized, but like they made it more widely known. Like this is not television. This is not radio. This is not like different generation. This is way more advanced.
Way more advanced. Well, and Asa Raskin, he's one of the technologists that was featured in the social dilemma. Mm-hmm. He is the inventor of infinite scroll. So there used to be, it used to be where you got to the end of your Instagram feed and it would say, that's all for today. Remember that? Remember when it would say that's all for today?
Sure do.
Okay. It doesn't say that anymore.
No.
You know why? Because Asa Raskin invented infinite scroll and you never get to the bottom of your feed. And this is what he said. I just want to read his quote. I'm not going to read all my quotes because I have about a million, but we'll be here for weeks. But he said, infinite scroll makes you spend 50% more of your time on social media. Every day is a direct result of this invention. The combined total, every day, the combined total of 200,000 human lifetimes. Every moment from birth to death is now spent scrolling a screen.
Good Lord.
Yep. And then he goes on to say, you know, basically think of all the things that we could be doing besides this. I mean, he says it in a really compelling way, but his conclusion is for whatever he says, he said, one of the biggest learnings as a designer or a technologist is making something easy to use doesn't mean it's good for humanity.
Yep.
And so he is, of course, now very outspoken about his contribution to this. And he confesses that his own invention was not good for humanity. And when I look at scripture, Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days so that we will gain a heart of wisdom. So as humans, we are bound by time and we cannot treat it and squander it like it's this inexhaustible resource. It's not, because I mean, simply put, the time that we spend on social media is time that we're not spending elsewhere.
That's right.
So I knew that I was spending a lot of time there, obviously. One of the things that really, this was the thing that kicked me into the first year-long fast was I thought, okay, if I'm spending 2 hours a day there, I wonder how long I've spent since I joined. And so I just used that 2 hour a day thing and I did some math and I figured out that since I had joined, just using the 2 hours a day, I had spent a year and 4 months of my life, 24 hour a day.
Gosh, Sandy.
On social media. That was just me using, so this is really fun. So for your listeners, I didn't create it. This really nice guy from Fiverr created it for me, but I have a calculator. I have a calculator where your listeners can put in the year they joined social media and the hours per day that they spend there. And it will calculate for them immediately the lifetime use, how long they've been on there for the lifetime.
Oh my gosh.
So that's fun.
It's fine or terrifying.
Yeah, it'll be one or the other. Hopefully it will compel them to want to take a social media break.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, when I figured that out for myself, I asked myself, like, truly, is this how I, you know, because at the time I had a daughter in 2019, she was entering eighth grade, but she had just started eighth grade. You know, she just started seventh grade. And I thought, is this truly how I want to spend like the last couple of years that I have kids in my home?
Yeah.
Like, is this how I want to spend the last third of my life? Like, and I thought, no, I do not. And it turns out that most people do not. And, you know, and when I surveyed my audience, I asked them, like, if someone gave you 2 hours a day, what would you do with that time? I mean, can you imagine if someone came to you and said, guess what? Bonus, you get 2 extra hours every day. What are you going to do with it? Okay. People would do things like 73% of the people who took my survey said, I would read books.
Yeah.
60% said, I would exercise.
Yes.
Over half of them said, I'll spend more time with loved ones. I'll work on my hobby. I'll pray. I'd read the Bible. 40% said they would cook. Like half of the moms are not even cooking. Or they would cook more.
Yeah.
40% said they would slow down. 40% said they would sleep.
Wow. Like, the things I like to do.
All the things we love and need, you know? Yes. I mean, so the first compelling reason, just to recap, is the time suck. And while we can't ever get that time back, I can't go back and get that year and 3 months back. My hope is that by taking a social media break of any length, that you can free up some time in your day to do things that are meaningful, relevant, eternal, that matter. That would be my hope.
I love it. I love it. And I think people would probably agree with that, right?
I hope so. I would think, yes.
I would think so too.
Yeah.
What's meaningful? Oh my gosh. I'm still haunted by your calculator. So yeah.
You're going to have to play with it and see.
I will. And then I won't tell you what my number is.
You don't have to report.
I'll just respond SOS.
That's right. Help. That's right.
All right. So what's the second one you have on your list, Sandy?
Sure. So the second compelling reason why you need a social media break is that social media makes you depressed, anxious, and lonely.
It's so interesting because people who don't fully integrate with the research, they think the opposite.
Yes. Yes.
But connectedness is not community. And but you know, that's a hard sell for some people. They're like, what do you mean?
Well, and I think that, okay, so this was another thing that I thought, something's wrong with me. Okay. I felt like, why does it make me feel gross? Why does it make me feel anxious? And I thought everyone else was handling it just fine.
Yep.
And of course, back in the early 2010s, there was no research. We were all lab rats. Our kids were lab rats.
It's true.
All this technology just rolled out. We all hopped on. We handed it to our kids. I handed it to my kids way too early.
Yeah.
And then I wondered, what the heck is wrong with everyone? Mm-hmm. And well, now the research is out and now it's published in reputable medical journals. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the more time that a person spends on social media, the lonelier they are. It's not that lonely people go to social media, although that may be true. It's that when you spend time on social media, it causes you to be lonely. When you spend time on social media, it causes you to be anxious and depressed. We now know this. And so the worst damage and risk is being done to our young women.
Yes, it is.
And we now have all the research to back that up. I have two daughters. You know, I have a 23-year-old daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter in this demographic. This concerns me.
Oh, yeah.
This concerns me. I also have a history of depression and anxiety that was diagnosed before I got on social media. So I was doing myself no favors. I didn't know that at the time. When I joined social media, I was actively taking meds and in therapy for a major bout of depression that I had just come out of. And every time I took a break, I knew that I felt better.
Yeah.
And every time I got back on, I knew that I felt worse. But again, the social media.
It's the addiction piece of it, right?
Right.
You're so easily sucked in.
Yeah. And they want us to think it's us.
Yeah.
Obviously they're creating addictive technology. They don't want us to think that they're the problem. They want us to think that we're the problem. So now we know that the problem is them. And we can't unknow that.
Yeah.
So the second reason you need a social media break is because we now know for sure that social media makes you depressed, anxious, and lonely. And that my hope is that when people step away from social media, even if it's for a week, because research now shows that even a week away improves your mental health, I want moms to feel empowered to take control of their mental health. You don't have to succumb to this. You really can take control of your mental and emotional health. And I want women to to start to connect the dots between their bouts of depression and anxiety and their feelings of loneliness.
Yeah.
To their social media usage. Because I feel like once they start to see that connection for themselves,
yep,
they'll be more compelled to be like, whoa, I don't think I want to be feeding my heart and my mind this all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think you maybe commented on this in communication we had prior to this, but I make my students write a paper in their intro to media class.
Yes.
And they reflect on their own experience, particularly middle school seems to come out a lot, but the young women, yep, they talk about comparison is really the word that keeps coming up. But yep, because they are comparing themselves constantly on social media, they feel horrible about themselves. Yeah. And then they feel, you know, then they're, you know, and they're taking less risks. They're doing less things. They're putting themselves out there less. They're not doing something they really love, like play the trumpet, because yeah, they might get made fun of. And that is, you know, then they are depressed and then they have anxiety and it's, you know, and they almost overwhelmingly say, I wouldn't have given my 13-year-old self social media because my brain was just not ready. You know, I talk about this with my girlfriends, you know, when I was 15, you know, I compared myself to like the three hot girls in school, you know?
That's right. And so
like,
true.
Now 15-year-olds right, have like TikTok millions, stars with millions. I mean, and thousands of women who have, you know, filters and, you know, they're not, right, it's not what you think. And like, that is an impossible wall to come against up, especially impossible, 13, 14 years old. I mean, my goodness. No,
it's, I know. And I saw that happen to my oldest daughter and, you know, at the time, we were all getting on, everyone was getting on.
Yeah.
And you just, no one had any, we did not have the designers of the technology knew what they were doing. They now will come out. They've now come out and admitted, I knew this wasn't good.
Yes.
However, I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they have expressed like sincere regret. But as parents, you know, it's like, oh, what a great way to stay connected.
Sure. So easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's devastating.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is, for me, one of the biggest reasons, not only did I use that reason to get off, but it is now one of the biggest reasons why I stay off.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good, Sandy.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. You ready for the third one?
I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm taking notes. I'm ready.
I feel like I've already like shot a fire hose at you, but okay. So number three, using social media adversely affects your ability to focus and it actually changes the way your brain works.
Okay. So tell me about that. That's okay, interesting.
So this is actually a two-pronged issue. One of which is just the constant interruption, which social media is a part of the constant interruption. It is not the only factor in constant interruption. Technology as a whole plays in that. So, you know, just holding a phone with your notifications on constantly or having a laptop open with notifications constantly. That in and of itself is one issue, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then the second issue is the constant interruptions that we talked about before where you're constantly, incessantly checking.
Yeah.
That is actually changing our ability to concentrate, focus, you know, our attention has been completely hijacked and our brain is actually becoming rewired because of what we're doing to it. So first, quickly, just the incessant notifications. I know a lot of people are just like, I just keep my notifications off. And that's good. I think that's a great step. However, like research now shows, and this blew my mind. So every time we're interrupted, it takes us an average of 23 minutes to get back to our original state of focus.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, okay. So can you even remember the last time you were not interrupted for 23 minutes? Like when I read that,
I cannot.
That means we're never in a state of deep focus.
No, it's very difficult.
It's very difficult. So that's the one thing is just that whole concept of that we are now being notified you know, the little banner drops down, the little notification icon pops up, the ding that, you know, even if you silence it, I mean, like with me, I have the banners that just like, I just keep looking. And while I'm trying to work on something,
I know,
like you have to. Yeah. So that's the one thing. Most people are not even disciplined. They're not disciplining themselves to shut it all down, to get into a state of deep focus. And it's really, really impairing our ability to focus at all. The second thing that is more specific to social media, and this was the thing that really scared me, is that those times in the carpool while the coffee's brewing, you know, while the kids are in the bathtub, while we are standing in Target line, like all those times that moms instinctively, we just pick up our phone, we check social media, always, always, always. 20 years ago, that would have been time that our brains got a rest. Okay. That is a very critical time for brain development and for cognitive function and for, and I'm not a scientist, I'm using all these big words like I am, but it is the way our brains process the information, much like sleep. You know, we now know how important sleep is in order to like move things.
Sure
from,
do. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So it's all of that, but we also have those periods during the day, and we have removed them because we are constantly taking in information. It is constant. So, you know, we sit in school if we're a student, and then as soon as we get a break, we check. Yep. We are moms. We're reading, we're doing stuff, we're shopping, we're taking care of kids. And as soon as we get a break, we're doing stuff. And there is no break for our brains. And so it is now literally changing. So every person I know feels like they can't focus. I don't know a person who thinks that this is not a problem.
Yeah.
And the reason is because it's a problem. Like yeah. It is like, it's real. Like what you are sensing is happening. It's because something has actually happened mm-hmm. to rewire your brain in such a way that you are unable to process the deluge of information that you are giving it every single day. And therefore, you cannot focus on anything anymore because it's just too much.
You know, and you have me thinking about, have you ever heard of Sherry Turkle's book, Reclaiming Conversation?
No, I have not.
So she's an academic at heart, and she wrote this a couple years ago, but she said, so kind of like tied to what you're saying, she said, because we never let our brains rest, because we never just stand at the food store and check out. She's like, we are not good at developing our own thoughts. And right. I see this in the classroom, right? So I ask the students something, but they have not let themselves think about answers because we can't be without. We can't be without a device. We can't be without music. Right. We can't be without. So like she calls it the first chair, which is knowing yourself. And she said, we know less and less and less about ourselves because we never have that time. We never let our brain rest or our thoughts wander, or, you know, lay in the yard and look outside because we're always connected.
Right.
And it's right. really, I think about it all the time because I will say a red light, I am like tapping my phone. Did anybody text me? And I'm like, you know, and you, I thought you were going to say this, but you started to go another direction, but like, if my kids are in the car, a red light is a great opportunity to just shoot the breeze with them, right? And do the thing. And here I am, every red light, I'm like, ooh, do, 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 do,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm like, this is so stupid. Why are you looking at your phone for 9 seconds until the light turns green?
Right. Well, and again, that's not by accident.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not you. It's not like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's what's wrong with this technology that I can't. That I can't sit at a red light for 10 seconds. It's, and I feel like we need to, like my job right now, I feel like is to flip the script and be like, okay, wait, it's not you. Like there's a reason why you can't. And that's the thing is like, and we, another whole area we could take this, I won't open up the whole can of worms, but it just is an honorable mention is just not only is it the incessant amount of information that we're taking, but it is the content of the information as well. Like sure. When I was active on social media, not only was I consumed with everything that I had to post. So I was constantly reframing everything that I was experiencing in life, trying to, how can I use this for content? Okay. So there was that whole thing that a lot of people, if they're not in our industry,
that.
They
yeah,
wouldn't
I get
it.
That.
Right. But yeah, you get it. And that's why I
liked
share.
It. Right. Yes.
Yes. But then there's a whole other, the content that I'm scrolling and taking in and I would, you know, I read something and then I find myself, I'm thinking about that thing all day, especially if it's like an emotionally triggering thing.
Yep.
And so it just completely, like for me, especially, I think that that's what happened in that 4 months because, you know, social media changed a lot in that period of time that I was off. It got, because of the algorithm, which we learned about in the social dilemma, like because the algorithm feeds on anger and outrage and, yes. you know, all it all got more defined during that period of time. And I missed that transition. So when I got off, it was getting there, but it wasn't all the way there yet. When I got back on, it was a volatile.
Yeah.
And people who were like otherwise lovely people that I knew in real life had turned yes. into like crazy people on their social media. And I was like, what in the world? Yeah. Like, and I would get off and I would just be like all day, just feeling this sense of like outrage.
Yeah.
Where like my year off, I never felt that. Like I just, all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So it, in addition to like stealing our focus in the way of rerouting, you know, the wiring of our brain and the constant interruption, it's also this like it's causing us to focus on things we wouldn't even be thinking about otherwise.
Yeah.
So it's so much. So my hope is that by taking some time away from social media, that moms, women would reclaim that sense of like silence, solitude, rest for your brain.
Yes.
So that you can reclaim focus, because we all need that. And our mind is very critical for us to be able to function in this world. I mean, God has given us work to do.
Yes.
And I just don't think our mind is something that we like our mental health in this respect, like our literal mental yeah. health is yeah. something we should take for granted or take lightly. So
I think people think mental health are these big episodes, but it's so much of the day to day, the constant yep. habits that you don't think are habits, but if you did a log of how you spent your day,
yep, 100%,
it would all be there.
It would all be there. Yeah.
All right, Sandy, I have time for one more.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I know. Okay. I'm going to force you to choose which one is speaking to you today.
Okay. Well, you already are familiar with the social dilemma, so I won't go into the fourth one. I just want to mention is that the whole thing of how social media platforms addict you for the sole purpose of extracting your data and then selling it to people to yep. make money. Okay. That's a whole thing. That's point number four.
Okay, good.
I want
good.
People to break free from that. But for today, I feel like probably the most important thing I want to say is that the most compelling reason, if I'm speaking specifically to moms, mm-hmm. The most compelling reason is that we have an opportunity and what I feel is a responsibility to model for our kids what a free and full life looks like outside of these platforms.
Yes.
So my kids were born between the ages or between the years of 1997 and 2006. And that is smack dab in the middle of what is now known as iGen. And iGen is the generation of kids who don't remember or never knew a life prior to social media, technology.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, I I remember the 1900s. I remember, you know, landlines and my answering machine. And I remember encyclopedias. So and, you know, I remember all of that. My kids do not remember any of that. They've never known that.
No.
I think for me, realizing that I am raising kids, I have young adult children and a teen, two of which really struggle with anxiety, one of which struggles terribly with depression. The last thing that they need is a mom who engages on the very things that are perpetuating this in them.
Yeah.
I lead women who are overwhelmed, frazzled moms. When I post to social media and I say, this is where you can find me and this is where you can read my content, or if I share their content or share someone else's content for their consumption, I am perpetuating I'm inviting them into a platform that is causing them to become depressed, anxious, and lonely, that is sucking 2 hours a day out of their time. They might come just to check my content, but then they're going to get sucked in for 30 minutes because that's how it's designed to do. Because they don't know when I'm posting, they're going to check it incessantly. Like I just realized that.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot there. And back in 2016, when I was on all those platforms, I felt like it was irresponsible of me not to take advantage of this where all these people are. Now it's like, 3.96 billion people are on social media. Like, it felt irresponsible to not go there.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that now I feel, for me, like it's irresponsible if I go there. Because I feel like this is like I said at the beginning, I was looking for that woman, that mom, that entrepreneur, that writer, that podcaster, the leader who could forge a pathway for me and show me the way out and show me that there's a life outside. And I feel like the tables have turned and I need to be that person. So my hope is that by moms taking a break from social media, that they will have in mind the people behind them, their kids, the young women who follow them, the young men who follow them, that they will be an example to them and show them, hey, wait, we can live outside of this. We can build a life outside of this. And hopefully it will send a strong message to the creators of future social media platforms to do it in a way that is not so insidious and manipulative and not addictive, because connection is a good thing. Like, God gave us that desire.
It really is. Yes,
it really is. And I mean, God made us with that desire to connect with each other, with Him. And so your desire to be there is not bad. Like, there's nothing bad about that.
You know, you just said like manipulate their thoughts. And sometimes when I talk about this, Sandy, to people, they just look at me like I have three heads. And I'm just like, man, like, I don't really want to beat you over the head with it. But like, if we are in fact spending 2 hours a day, we are essentially spending more free time with these platforms than we're doing anything else.
Anything else. Other than maybe sleeping, we spend more time doing that than eating.
Yes. Yeah. But yet people, you know, I think there's really good research out there. And I love that you're sharing it, because sometimes I think people just need to hear it in a tangible way. Mm-hmm. They need to hear it. Like, you have me, I wrote down like in my notes, like FOMO. And like, mm-hmm. like, I think we stay on social media because we have FOMO. Mm-hmm. But what I love, like, and I'm like, Sandy's saying you should have FOMO about all the things you're missing out on.
And your actual life.
And your actual life. This is like, you know, anytime somebody tries to talk to me about the metaverse, I'm like, nope.
No.
Can get married in real life. You can buy sneakers in real life. You can go on a hike in real life. Why would you want to be part of, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You know, and there's a lot of moms listening to this. And, you know, I think we take very seriously how our kids see us. And I think this is a great gut check for a lot of us. And so I know you're doing something in November.
Yes.
So tell me about that. Give me the specifics.
Okay. So I'm leading what I'm calling the Make Social Media Small Challenge. And
okay.
It kicks off November 1st. And it's just going to start out as a 7-day challenge. So what I do is if you sign up for the challenge, you will immediately get an email that will help you prepare for a 7-day break from social media. And I go through, I talk about, like, people have questions like, what do I do about my Facebook groups? What my mom wants me to post pictures of my kids. Like, how do I monitor my children? Like, okay. So I address all of that. I talk about how we're going to prepare. And then beginning November 1st, we're all going to log off together for a week.
Okay.
And you'll get a daily encouragement from me. And I will tell you, I will remind you the reasons why you're off, and I will give you encouragement, and I will tell you a funny story, and I'll leave you with a scripture and a prayer and I will give you questions that you can consider as you're off I want you to tap into everything that I just said. I want you to tap in to the connection that you're feeling. Like, how are you feeling about depression, anxiety? How are you feeling about, you know, not getting your news in this way? Every day you're going to get an email from me. Let's just say that. I won't tell you everything. It's in the email.
Okay. All right.
Why should I join? and then for people who want to continue on, we'll be staying off completely through all of November and December, but those are two separate challenges, because some people might get to the end of the week and be like, okay, I'm done. Thank you. But some people might be like, you know what? I could use, especially moms. I mean, November and December are crazy town.
They are.
And we really could use that 2 hours to get our holidays in order and spend time with family and shop 100%. And do all those things. So I thought, let's get off right before, take a good long break. And and there's all kinds of fun things that are part of the 7-week challenge. So so you can go to my website right now. As we're recording this, the page is still under construction, but it will be at thescooponbalance.com/make-social-media-small.
thescooponbalance.com/make-social-media-small.
Okay. And you'll see, and it'll be all over my website. So really, if you just go to the website, you'll see it.
Okay.
But yes, if you go there, you know, today is the day we're recording. If you go there, Susanna, you will not see it today.
Okay.
But
yes.
By the time this goes live, yes, they
it
will absolutely.
Sure will.
Find, yeah. Yeah.
And how can people connect with you? You know, you've talked a little bit about, like, I'm trying all these, you know, I'm being out of the box. So if people are like, Sandy Cooper, you are speaking to me and this is amazing and I need to get on your radar, how can people do that?
Okay, very good. Yes. So I have my website. That's the best place to find everything.
Okay.
So it's thescooponbalance.com. I also have a podcast, which is the Balanced Momcast. It's a weekly podcast for overwhelmed moms. If you email me at thescooponbalance@gmail.com, I respond to every email. So you can email me.
Awesome.
If you go, all of my podcast episodes are also on my website. If you leave a comment, I always respond. So you can connect with me. I am accessible, but it's just not going to be in the sea of social media.
I love it. I think this is just this is great timing. You know, I'm so glad we connected, and I am doing you're going to be the last episode in my series on technology and families. And I think what a great way to end this. Cause you know, I'm very focused on how do we help the teens, you know, but I think what's really great is you're really bringing to the forefront our own mental health, FOMO of real life. Right, modeling for our kids, and then it's gonna roll into November, and I love these challenges.
Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.